And then finally, I realized that, hey, how do you choose the right DAO for yourself, right? I mean, how do you know that this is the DAO that you would like to spend a good amount of time in or invest your time in nurturing relationships with your other fellow DAO members as well?
Welcome to the Ocean Missions Campfire Podcast, where we discuss Ocean Protocol, Web3, and blockchain data. Before we get started with today's interview, I'd like to quickly thank the Ocean Protocol Ambassadors Program for sponsoring this podcast. They sponsor a number of community outreach initiatives, and if you'd like to get involved or learn more, just follow the link in the show notes. In this episode, I'll be speaking with Sashwath Sahu. He is the host of a brand new podcast called the Web3 Ocean Podcast, where he discusses all things blockchain, community, and data. We both discuss our journeys into Web3 and Ocean Protocol. We talk about the current and future states of DAOs and what you can expect to hear on Sashwath's new podcast. This episode was posted across both this podcast and the Web3 Ocean podcast, so you may notice a slightly different format in this episode than our regular episodes. As usual, we'd love to hear what you think about this episode and the podcast in general, which you can do by sending an email to info@oceanmissions.com. And with that said, here is my conversation with Sashwath.
Hello, everyone. We have Scott Millard with us. Scott is the host of a popular Web3 podcast. It is called as the Campfire Podcast. And I met Scott in the Ocean Ambassador Discord channel, and we started communicating and we hit it off. So for those uninitiated, my name is Sashwath. I'm a fellow Ocean Ambassador as well. And I also started a recent Web3 podcast. It's called as the Web3 Ocean Podcast. So Scott, hello there. What's up?
Hey, how's it going? Yeah, lovely to connect with you and also have a very interesting, I'm sure, conversation with you about all things Web3 and crypto and wherever else the conversation takes us.
Yeah, about life, Scott. Yeah, exactly. Everything comes under the bigger umbrella of life, isn't it? Just kidding. So to start off, Scott, what's your background like? I mean, I know personally, but you know, like you are currently in Bahrain. You have an amazing digital, background. You've traveled around a lot. So if you were to sum up in like two or three sentences, how would you talk about yourself?
Yeah, so I grew up in New Zealand, spent the majority of my life there, began my professional career in advertising with corporate clients, got involved with startups, got involved in developing mobile apps for commercial clients, and then fell in love with a Bahraini and moved to Bahrain, which is where I now live.
Yeah, that there's a personal angle to that, but yeah, later on that, isn't it? So what really inspired you to get involved in the ocean ecosystem, just not Ocean DAO, but also, engaging with a lot of other fellow ocean ambassadors?
Yeah, so, I mean, I sort of started taking a pretty deep dive into crypto and blockchain technology and around 2016, just understanding how Bitcoin worked and all those sorts of things. And then obviously 2017 happened, and that created, a rather large reason to dive even deeper and get an even better understanding of what was going on. And I sort of just kept an eye on the industry. Actually, honestly, it was a lot of listening to podcasts. The Epicenter podcast was a huge influence and taught me a big chunk of what I know about crypto. And it's also where I first heard Trent talking about Ocean. And actually, prior to that, I think he was talking about Big Chain DB. So anyway, I had kind of become aware of Trent and the work that he was doing. And I just, there's such a broad array of projects inside of this ecosystem, from, blatant scams to just some really foundational and quite interesting new both technologies from a technical standpoint, but then also in terms of what that means from a social perspective. And hearing Trent talk, I could tell that he was coming from a good place and that he was, a reasonable human. And also Canadians and Kiwis, seem to, I've found, can have a lot in common, maybe in terms of kind of ethics and values. But So that really is what attracted me to oceans initially, really. And then I did a more of a deep dive to try and understand what was actually going on and the task that they were essentially taking on. And yeah, one thing led to another, and I found myself, you know, in the Discord and meeting with a few different people and you know, connected with some interesting characters and saw that there was some really interesting stuff happening. The ecosystem was still relatively new at that point. It was around this time last year. And it was also the time that I had moved to Bahrain. So, you know, I sort of had left, you know, all the networks and everything that I had kind of made up until that point in terms of, you know, my professional career and so on. And so, yeah, I was starting to look at what options existed in terms of ideally, you know, staying in Bahrain. For those who don't know, Dubai is very close by, and there's a lot of interesting stuff happening there. But we moved halfway around the world to be closer to my wife's friends and family. So then to subsequently move, you know, another 40-minute flight away from there kind of didn't make sense. So, yeah, I got more involved with ocean, and, yeah, basically the rest, as they say, is history / is uploaded to the internet, because all the work I've been doing has been published there.
Good stuff. So that's an exciting journey, to be honest. I mean, almost like 4 or 5 years you have been swimming in the ocean of crypto, or more than that, to be honest.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, what is it now? Yeah, 5 or 6. I mean, I kind of heard about the concept of DAOs, and it was at the time that I was learning more about businesses, and specifically businesses within technology, and the concept of a distributed autonomous organization was kind of popping up as this radical new way of incentivizing and coordinating humans. And when you kind of look at the macro scale of things, how we're becoming, you know, more interconnected, and, you know, borders are becoming in some ways less relevant. You know, right now you're interviewing me from India, I'm in Bahrain, and, you know, we're both kind of working together on the same thing essentially. So, you know, it just seemed like a natural transition that there would need to be, or there would start to, mechanisms and incentives would start to emerge such that people could coordinate on projects that they sort of cared about and found interesting. And so, you know, this idea of this distributed autonomous organization and using these new sort of crypto tokeny things to incentivize people to, you know, kind of have shares, but they're not really shares, and be incentivized to work towards the good of that project, or the positive outcomes of that project. It was just really interesting. Like, it just had so much depth, and it just sucked me in, honestly. I was fascinated by it, and as a result, you know, you go through those processes of then learning about, you know, Bitcoin and Ethereum, and then, you know, all of the other things that came out, and then it just kind of gets to a point where it's too hard to actually keep up with everything that's going on. And I think there is, you know, the industry is at a point now where really it makes sense to kind of pick something that you can kind of go really deep on. And for a number of reasons, ocean has kind of become that, and the data economy has kind of become that, I suppose, just kind of the way things unfolded, really, honestly. But yeah, it's sort of, to me, ocean and what they're doing feels similar to, you know, how things have been previously with regards to sort of crypto, Bitcoin, Ethereum, and so on. And I do think that we are at the beginning of something that is going to become, it may not completely take over the world or whatever, but I do think it will become reasonably significant. And whether that happens, you know, this year or in a couple of years, I really don't know. But I do think that there's enough of a sort of fundamental kind of foundation there such that it's going to have definitely an impact in some way, shape or form. So looking forward to seeing what that is and how it unfolds.
Long answer, but my exposure to DAO has been just like about a year. And something that I've learned over the last 1.5-2 years during the pandemic is that right after the pandemic, there was a digital acceleration. So a lot of, you know, SaaS companies, IT companies really took off, even in the midst of the global pandemic, because the usage of digital tools and applications was really high. And that actually led to people accepting, you know, communities, digital platforms, using WhatsApp, Telegram, Slack, Discords, etc. You know, if the pandemic wasn't there, people would not have been stuck in their apartments or in their residences or in their homes, and they would not have used all these digital tools, right? But because of the pandemic, this really got accelerated. People who did not know about these tools and applications, they started learning about it. So the volume of the tool usage like Slack or Telegram or let's say, you know, Discord really took off. And that led to a natural progression of the emergence of DAOs. Because decentralized autonomous organization, if you were to deconstruct that a bit, decentralization means that people are distributed in different geographies. It doesn't matter if you are in Middle East or if you are in Asia or in Mexico or in somewhere in Latin America or North America, you know, or even in Oceania, right? So you could be anonymous as well. You do not need to have a name at all given point in time. You can just, you know, move around as long as you do your job and you have a Web3 name, you have a wallet address, still a bunch of jobs get done. And a lot of digital nomads currently, as we speak, are actually doing it as well, right? They could be operating out of multiple geographies like let's say LATAM, Mexico, somewhere in Ubud, Bali, in Indonesia, Chiang Mai, in Thailand, or any of the hubs of the world. So the decentralization part really connected people who were distributed in multiple geographies on a digital plane. So that was a good part of it. Now, autonomous was where a lot of processes were getting anyways automated, and there was a sheer need of all these processes where there was a to and fro email chains going on and really leaning on to synchronous conversation, you know, which was really putting off people. Led to this autonomic work as well. So there were a lot of autonomous processes that were really created, really thought out very well, and these really converged into creating a DAO. So decentralization, autonomous, you know, creation of processes, and the current times that we are in, like 2020 and beyond, where the majority of the digital working population were stuck in their apartments because of a global pandemic, these themes converged, and now DAO was a success in 2021, last year. And 2021, there were like thousands of DAOs, to be honest. I mean, yesterday I was in Solana Hacker House, one of the largest hacker house in the world, which was in Bangalore in my home city. And you know, there were like thousands of developers, devrels, people from the broader Solana community who had come flown in from different geographies as well. And they were talking about that DAO just right on a particular chain like Solana. There's so many DAOs. Imagine there are so many multiple chains as well, ERC-20 tokens, etc. So the natural evolution of DAO could be in 2022 called as DAO 1.0, where we are seeing that people who are digital natives, people who are getting used to this digital, working schedules, are working together in Discords and Notion docs and, co-working whiteboards, etc. Eventually, DAO 1.1 will evolve into DAO 2.0 as well. There will be a bunch of iterations that will happen, just not on the finance layer, but also on the way people communicate each other and the way the data gets exchanged between different parties, etc. And eventually in 2025, we will see a different shape and form of DAOs. So the current DAO that we are currently operating in and understanding will really take a, tectonics shift as well.
Yeah, definitely. With the hacker house that you went to, what was the sort of average age and demographic that was there?
Yeah, the hacker houses are usually very young. The population, irrespective whether it's happening on, somewhere in Miami or somewhere in San Francisco or in Europe or in APAC, usually the mean age would be somewhere around 22 to 28, 30. That's my guess. But you will find people from different the spectrum is totally wide, right? I mean, if you'll find a lot of mature VCs, guest speakers, they would be on the higher spectrum, let's say, beyond 30, 35, 40, etc. And a lot of volunteers, organizers are just getting started. So they would be on the other side of the spectrum. They would be somewhere around like 17, 18 to 21, 22. But the bulk of the people would be somewhere around 22 to 28, 29. That's my hunch.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting in terms of just a concept, right? Like if you're starting out your professional career and there's, you know, this really interesting new way of operating that kind of makes sense to you, and the barrier to entry is relatively low, right? It's like, you know, read some stuff and go and show up at some hacker event. I wish my barrier was that low. But yeah, like you can really see how that would be quite an appealing proposition. And I wonder if that's had any sort of impact in terms of, you know, competition around hiring and stuff at other firms. Be interesting to know.
Yeah, I think this is a very interesting insight that I got yesterday as well while I was moving on the lanes of these hacker dens. There were like five or six, you know, chairs with the terminals and devrels who are working on their particular tools. Let's say, you know, if it's on the Ethereum chain, it's Solidity. If it's on Solana, then it's like Rust. And people all discussing about the projects that they could build on these particular chains. And the most beautiful part is that these are the projects that are technical projects that are being built, but there are a lot of business models that are being curated around it as well, right? So definitely the ecosystem at large is accelerating this process, where people from different backgrounds are coming, collaborating, co-creating, and eventually, you know, engaging in community projects as well. So I think DAO 2.0, or let's say, would have its origin from these hacker houses as well. You know, digital communities are good, but hacker houses gives you that in-person IRL communities as well. You meet a person, you really vibe with the person, you connect with the person, then you get onboarded onto a Slack channel or a Discord channel, right? So the strength of the DAOs really have this different vibe if you have already connected with the majority of your community members early on through these hacker houses.
Yeah, and you know, if you were to think about, you know, Solana, for example, being an employer, but obviously they're not because it's, you know, more or less an open source project. I mean, it's kind of that hacker house is almost the equivalent of their building, right? In a really strange way, you know? Like that's their corporate office in a strange way.
You're right. Actually, quite a lot of these projects and chains, I don't think they have a corporate office. It could be a digital
corporate Discord channel.
Yeah. So majority of the folks are distributed, which means that they're just connected via digital nodes. People, you know, check in and check out via Discord or maybe emails. And they are just working out of anywhere. It could be their home base, or they could be traveling somewhere. As long as they add value to the project, to the DAO, they should be good to go. So I think this is definitely the future of work. Web3 DAOs are really at the edge of the evolving emerging technologies, right? So the laggards of the technologies or Web2 companies will usually follow suit in the coming years.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to watch it unfold. How did you yourself get involved in Ocean? What was the sort of pull factor to Ocean Protocol amongst, you know, this sea of many other DAOs?
Great question, Scott. So I come from a strategy consulting background. In my initial days after my engineering and MBA curriculum, I started traveling in different geographies. I was based out of APAC for a good amount of time in my early days. Thereafter, moved to UK for a couple of years, working on multiple IT consulting, strategy consulting projects with amazing clients as well. And for the last 4 to 5 years, I've been moving or swimming in the startup ecosystem, right? So looking into trends, looking into projects that seemed interesting. And for the last 3 years, just before the pandemic, I was consulting to a bunch of SaaS companies, early stage SaaS companies, and I really love the business model, right? I mean, many of the SaaS companies have the usual digital native play as well, meaning that low headcount, a good bottoms-up product, which could be sold to customers or users to any geography, right? Now, during the pandemic, what happened was that I was really getting deep into the SaaS ecosystem. I was part of an accelerator or a body called as NASSCOM in India. And that was like an overarching body for a lot of IT product companies as well. And I was there for like one and a half years during the pandemic. And that was the time where I really communicated and engaged with a lot of deep tech startups, AI startups, as well as SaaS tech startups, right? And I started a podcast. I thought, why not capture these beautiful conversations of founders, operators, and venture capitalists into a podcast and get the best worldview from all of them. That podcast really took off. I got into the OnDeck ecosystem, which is Silicon Valley-based ecosystem where you'll find a lot of amazing entrepreneurs, investors, and operators. And they were starting their podcasting fellowship. I said, hey, why not? Now, that was my really starting point to really understand DAOs, how DAO mechanism works. I think the founders of Codinave were also there in the programming. They had come in, they explained, you know, how do you actually have your governance board? How do you have your compensation board? You know, how do you actually, you know, build your community ground up? And that really excited me and brought me to the crypto realm, right? I did that last year around September, October, November, and then I got into a bunch of DAOs. And I'm like, I really laugh out loud when I tell that I was like almost in like 90-100 DAOs. And then finally, I realized that, hey, how do you choose the right DAO for yourself, right? I mean, how do you know that this is the DAO that you would like to spend a good amount of time in or invest your time in nurturing relationships with your other fellow DAO members as well? So one thing that I realized is that, hey, you got to have a very, not like a vision mission, but objective in mind, right? So I loved the SaaS ecosystem. So I thought anything that needed to do with data, anything that needed to do with, you know, APIs, exchange of information was my forte. I love that space, right? Whether that's a startup in that space, whether that was a business model in that space, or whether that was any exciting Web3 project in that space. So that led me to, let's say, 5 or 10 DAOs, right? Ocean Protocol was one of them. I got into all the Discord servers of these DAOs, and then I started having, you know, the GMs, as well as the nice introductory conversations with a lot of their fellow DAO members as well. Now, after having few of the early conversations with DAO members, you get a fair sense of the vibe that is available in a particular network, community, or a DAO as well, right? If you join a particular DAO which has already 10,000 community members, then maybe you are a little late to the game. So you may not be in a good position to actually nurture stronger relationships with the whales of the DAO or with the decision makers of the DAO early on as well, right? So there's a waiting lag or a waiting period. So I realized that, hey, Ocean DAO is at the right intersection of all my checkpoints, where it was around the data stack and the data layer, where the early members of the Ocean Protocol have strong IT program management background, the way they have been running their Notion docs, the way they have been conducting their meetings on Discords, etc. It really resonated with me. And I thought, hey, why not go really deep into the DAO? And then I thought, hey, let's submit a proposal as well to a DAO to co-create something or really contribute to the community, right? So because I had come from a little bit of SaaS background, consulting background, audio podcasting background, I said, hey, why not combine all the skills and eventually send a proposal to Ocean DAO and let's see what happens. And that's why the idea of the Web3 Ocean podcast started off. And the good part is I just recorded my first season's first episode with the founder of Ocean Protocol, Bruce Spohn. And yeah, it's due for release in the next week. So I'm quite excited. And that's my... in a nutshell, DAO journey.
Amazing. And can you tell us a little bit more about the Ocean Web3 podcast?
Sure. So I've made announcement that it will be at the intersection of blockchain, community, and data, which is like A, B, C, D's. You know, it's very catchy and good to remember as well. Audio, because I strongly believe that the next 2 to 4 years would be era of audio amplification in the digital realm. You'll see a lot of podcasts, you'll see a lot of social audio. So that's why audio was A. Blockchain, because someone rightly told me that post-2020 era is actually a blockchain era. So if you go by the history of, industrial revolutions, etc., and how there were major shifts and waves in the global economy, pre-1960, it was primarily an oil era. 1980s were primarily a manufacturing era. And 1980s, 1990s to 2010-20s were primarily a digital IT / product era. 2020 and beyond, for the next 5 to 10 years, you will see the emergence of Web3 or crypto or blockchain era as well. Digital communities really took off in 2020 during the pandemic, because there was a sheer need for people to have these intimate digital conversations via their phone or their laptops, right? Before, pre-2020, people really, took a flight, went to a particular event, met people in real life, exchanged cards, and bonded with people. But after 2020, now this, with the advent of digital economy, gig economy, remote economy, we are now much more comfortable with actually bonding with people via a digital platform, right? So that's why digital communities really took off. And digital community formation, the architecture and the engineering is a much more complex game that I just learned last year. So that really excited me that, hey, there are like multiple evolution of these digital communities, and one of them could be DAO in the Web3 space. So that's why communities. And the fourth is data, because now, we do not have to even discuss that this is the data economy. Every second of our lives, we are generating millions of data bytes from multiple, platforms or applications or devices that we have been using. So these four elements really felt like the futuristic trends that will really converge, and beautiful things will really crop out of it. So I thought, hey, why not combine all these four, bring in all these elements, the best of the talent and the people that I have been conversing in these ecosystem, and package it as a podcast.
Amazing. And you're starting it off with a bang with an interview with Bruce. How did the conversation with him go?
It was very nice, to be honest. I didn't know that he was in the US. So I just had a candid banter with him, understanding his background, getting myself introduced. And I really, really believed in his mission as well. And so I really wanted to connect with him on a personal level. And as podcasters, we both know, Scott, a conversation between two people, if you just put a mic, it really becomes intellectual and also very intimate at times, right? You really connect with that human being. So I had some beautiful questions from the community that I had already captured by collecting information, having conversations with a lot of community members. But besides that, I actually dabbled with a few ideas that I had for the community in general or for Ocean Protocol as well. So I exchanged those ideas with him, and he was very receptive. He was very acknowledging of the fact that, hey, I love these ideas, and you actually gave me fodder for my blog posts as well. So that was a very nice man-to-man conversation, and I am really enamored by his vision. And possibly I'm also very gung-ho about Ocean Protocol's trajectory. So we all hold Ocean tokens, so we have a vested interest in the
DAO in action.
And so it really went well. And my objective was to actually bring out his worldview for my listeners, right? Who he is as a person, and what kind of worldview he holds in his head. Because your decision in your life or in your job or in your entrepreneurial career is totally defined by the worldview that you have in your head. And sometimes the worldview is primarily defined by your 3 or 4 E's, which is like environment that you are currently in, experience that you have had in your life, and education background that you come from, and the energy that you actually spread in the world. So these 3 or 4 E's really shape your worldview.
And these 4 E's, is that something you've just come up with now, or is this a well-known fact?
No, I just came up with now. So the funny part is, Scott, I come from a consulting background. So, in our head, everything is frameworks, grids. So we package things into like 3 C's, 4 E's, 5 D's, things like that, right?
A, B, C, D, and 4 E's.
Good catch.
I like it. Awesome. Well, where to from here? What's next? What's next for you? What's next for the ocean ecosystem? You know, where are we going to be by the end of 2022?
Wow, as a new member of Ocean Ambassador Program, my thoughts are, first of all, I'll contribute to the community, right? You get as much as you give. So the initial few weeks has to be giving back to the community first, like bringing in my expertise, bringing in my network, bringing in my skill set, and just pouring in and trying to see where it could be of help to, let's say, you to or to anyone who is currently there in the community, etc., right? And after that, maybe, you know, deliberating or debating or discussing or you know, thinking it together as all ambassadors and seeing where this DAO needs to go towards as well. Because we all will benefit or we all will contribute to this DAO. A DAO could not be possible with the contribution or with the thought process of only one community member, right? It has to be a very collective effort. So my thought is to make this community much more stronger and more so to work on the community engineering framework, meaning that something that I was just discussing with Bruce is that how do we make every node of the community way stronger so that the community's density or the intellectual density of the community really increases, right? Community is as strong as its weakest link. So the more stronger nodes that we actually onboard onto the community, the better our community becomes and the more benefit we all get as being DAO members. So for the first short-term goal for me would be to onboard some quality ambassadors as well. People who come from very different background, right? I mean, people who have a very strong worldview as to how the world should function in the coming years as well. People who have the right credentials, who can actually, you know, execute those things that they have their worldview around. If those ambassadors are there in our community, then the vibe of the community really increases. You will start loving the conversation. You will start vibing with other community members and you will start coming to those events more and more. So that is something that of interest to me, especially in the first few months. And eventually I see how this ocean marketplace really takes off. Because coming from the SaaS background, I strongly believe that a lot of Web3 SaaS companies who are experimenting or testing out multiple use cases will definitely try out Ocean Protocol. It's just not, you know, a consumer or, the, you know, just not like trading, buying or selling Ocean tokens, but more so on getting onto that Ocean marketplace. Because data is of immense value. Everyone knows about it. The Web3 folks knows about it. The SaaS ecosystem players know about it. So, you know, if both converge, then there's a possibility that there could be amazing projects that will be built on top of it as well. So on that particular fence or boundary is where my interest lies, because I strongly see that there will be a convergence of SaaS ecosystem into the Web3 ecosystem via Ocean Protocol.
I like it. And it's a very, very fertile ground indeed.
Yeah, I mean, we all make sense of all the chaos around us. So sometimes on the Discord servers, there's all so much of noise. So to actually derive the signal out of the noise, you need to have a very strong plan or strong mental model, right? I mean, how do you find the signal from this cacophony of noise, right? So you need to be very laser sharp in terms of picking the right signals from the right conversations and then stitch it together so that you have a beautiful necklace. So all these signals are just beads. You just make a necklace out of it and then you use it or gift it or keep it with you, which could be of common good as well.
Yeah, amazing. I like it. Well, yeah, plenty of fertile soil, and it sounds like you're laying some pretty good fertilizer down. So very excited to see where this continues to go. And yeah, glad to sort of have you, you know, coming into the ocean ecosystem. And, you know, for me, looking forward to learning from you. You've already had a lot of success with your previous podcasts. And, you know, I'm just getting started. I'm just a noob. So very much looking forward to learning and growing with you on this journey.
Absolutely, Scott. And I'm also looking forward to, you know, learn from you and contribute to your journey as a podcaster, just not in the digital ecosystem, but also especially in the crypto ecosystem, because crypto or blockchain podcasts are a subset of the huge podcasting canvas. So if you are in the Web3 or crypto or blockchain ecosystem, then I would just not recommend you, but a lot of recommend to our listeners as well to try out Fountain.fm. So that's a great podcasting platform that Oscar is building. And the platform is very nice because it talks about podcasting 2.0, which is value for value. So in the Web2 podcasting landscape, like Spotify or let's say like Google Podcasts or Amazon Podcasts or let's say Apple Podcasts, right? These are very Web2 specific podcasting platforms, and quite a lot of people are even very new to this, right? So talk about Web3 podcasting platforms like Fountain, where you can actually publish your podcast, but also you can actually, you know, distribute your sats or satoshis with your guests, with your community members, and then everyone gets value out of it. The listener also gets value out of it. The listener can also contribute to you if they are on the Lightning Network. And it's a very good natural evolution of podcasting 1.0 is what I would say.
Yeah, that sounds cool. I'm looking forward to checking it out, learning more.
And yeah, looking forward to connect with all the other fellow ocean ambassadors and learn from them and exchange ideas and see how we can co-create things and how we can make our ocean DAO better so that we all reap the benefit and also have a good time hanging out with each other, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Bring on the Ocean Hacker House.
Good idea, actually.
Yeah, that's a good idea, Scott. Proposal, round 18.
We should have a Ocean Hacker House as well, right? Digital Ocean Hacker House. Who knows?
Yeah, why not? Let's do it.
Yeah, good stuff.
This is actually the launch of the Ocean Hacker House. So if you're listening to this, it's that's what this was all about.
That's a good note, actually. You know, who knows? After 5 or 6 months, you know, people will be really, you know, raving for this Hacker House. And
yes,
and this idea just came out in a random, you know, podcast discussion or a topic.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah. Cool. Hey, thank you so much for taking the time to have a conversation. And yeah, it was great to learn more about you and looking forward to listening to episode one and the subsequent episodes too. It sounds like it's going to be pretty awesome.
Yeah, thanks for all the support as well, Scott.
Thanks for listening to the Ocean Missions Campfire Podcast. As you may be aware, this is a relatively new show and we are looking for feedback and wanting to make it awesome. So if you have any thoughts or feedback that you'd like to share, please just send us an email to info@oceanmissions.com. That's info@oceanmissions.com. Thanks for listening.